Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I write that weekly newsletter. Anyone can get it. It includes our weekly thoughts and this podcast. I also have a newsletter for our hedging clients, Turner's Take Ag Marketing. And there's also a newsletter that I put out for spec traders that are clients here at Daniels and work with me called Turner's Take Market Alert. So, I am a broker here. We work with online traders, broker-assisted. Most popular is probably the hybrid program we have here, which is a mix or two. If you ever want to get in touch with me, all my contact information is on those websites, turnerstakeag.com or turnerstake.com, or in the show notes here. So let's get into it. It is Friday. A lot went on this week. It has been a very busy week around here. We had the midterm election on Tuesday, and we had the WASD on Thursday, and then you throw in the regular day today. And Monday came, and here we are on Friday, and I can't believe it went by so fast. So let's talk a little bit about, I'm going to dive into the macro markets, and then we're going to go into the WASD and the grains and oilseeds, and then we're going to wrap up with some energy and livestock talk. All right, so on the macro side, crude oil has really been breaking down here. I think crude is trying to fight off 60 right now. We were at 75 a couple of weeks ago, and you know we're in bear market territory with the crude oil market. I want to say maybe less than a month ago, late September, you know, crude in December was at $76. Now we're at 60, or $16 lower. We have broken through all trend lines. We are seeing a pretty big liquidation. And what's going on? One, we have been producing more. There's been a lot of production out around the world by the United States. The shale guys are really running up the production here. I can't blame them. When you get into the 70s, you're going to see that. The sanctions that the market was thinking was going to come on Iran have really been softened up. I think 8 different countries got a pass from the United States on sanctions with Iran, effectively making those sanctions very, very weak. And what we're also seeing, too, is you know the fight for market share. Iran wants revenue, Saudi Arabia, Russia, and you know, the deal with OPEC to kind of tighten on supplies, that seems to have gone out the window now. I mean, if we remember back to last year, 12 to 18 months ago, it was all about OPEC just really tightening supplies to get the you know crude oil back into the 60s and the 70s, and we're just not seeing that anymore. It's turning into a little bit of every man for himself. We've heard some rumors and reports of apparently Saudi Arabia exploring the possibility of not actually being in OPEC, which is, couldn't believe that story when I saw it. I don't know how true that is. It's not like it came out. I didn't see anything official come from Saudi Arabia, but you know, usually in those kind of things where there's smoke, there's fire, and you know, Russia's a big player. Saudi Arabia is a big player. Those other countries in the Middle East. And then you got the United States. And I don't know, it might be every man for himself, which would be really quite something. If that is how it ends up going, then we're going to have a lot of production in crude. And that's why we're down at 60. Now, could we go lower? Absolutely. 55 is huge support when you go back and look on the charts. 55 used to be the old resistance line. You know, when crude was like in the high 90s, low 100s, and then, you know, the shale revolution came and went back down, I want to say, in the 40s. You know, we lived in the 40s, between 40 and 55 for about 2 years in crude, until OPEC started tightening, right? So that 55, used for a year or two, was a very strong resistance. Strong resistance becomes strong support. So if we do break down below 60, you would think that 55 comes in. Another reason why, it's not just the production, that's sending crude down. We got two things going on. One, the higher production, but two, there are some serious concerns about economic growth. Some in the United States, but really mostly global and the rest of the world. We really haven't been on a quite a nice run with economic growth and GDP growth. Eventually that comes to an end, just like any cycle. And what the market is concerned about is that cycle is more, we're in the late cycle economic boom. If that's the case, between supply going up and concerns about future demand, crude oil's coming down. So that's the story with crude. The spread market is bearish and getting more bearish. And you know, the funds, which typically tend to be net long crude, have been starting to shed some positions. So like I said, probably in the front month, crude 55 is a huge support level. And we'll just have to see if we get down there. So as far as the stock market goes, I think the market likes a split government. You know, the stock market started to sell off around late September, right when crude was, by the way. Those went hand in hand. The crude oil market and the stock market started selling off together. Again, concerns about global economic growth. Concerns about also the election were part of that. The split government market usually likes, since the election, we have had a kind of a rally, but we're back down today. Going forward, we'll probably be range bound for a while. And the real thing is, will the Fed raise rates? You know, if they're seeing economic growth slow down, if they're not seeing inflation, do they need to raise rates? Be interesting if they revise that. With crude now down so much, that will help the inflation readings that they get. And it's also food costs are low too. So food costs are low and energy costs are low. It's going to be hard to, you know, and the dollar's strong, it's going to be hard to argue the inflation. And then we have full employment, which will be a card for them to raise interest rates, because they're not worried about high unemployment. But that'll be interesting going forward. So I'm going to put you on hold here for a second, and then we're going to get away from stocks and crude and head up into the grains. Okay, I am back. So that is the story. Oh, one other thing on the macro side is the dollar. The dollar index has been strong. We did have a little bit of weakness in the beginning of the week, but now that the markets are selling off here, it looks like the dollar is rebounding. We're actually getting close to the new highs again. 97, a close above 97 would be a resumption of the uptrend and new highs in the dollar, so we'll have to see if that happens too, and that's really not great for exports either. So that is the macro landscape as we come in. We had the election, and I don't think the market, the election came and gone. I don't think anyone's going to really care so much for that right now. Not going to have a big impact on the market. Number two event of the week was Thursday. We had the WASDE report. A couple things happened. One, domestically, for corn, that was a bullish number. The United States, USDA lowered the yields down to about 178.9. And I wouldn't be surprised when we get the January report, we're even down a little bit more. The demand side of the equation wasn't that strong. So the ending stocks came down. It's about 1.7 billion. That's neither tight nor adequate. No, that's neither tight nor burdensome. That is adequate. So any kind of increase in demand we'll see should help push price lower. If the dollar goes up, we don't see a whole lot of demand, or things are going great in South America with their growing and planting season for corn. That'll bring prices down. We see corn as range-bound here. In my newsletter I sent out to farmers, we talked about straddles today that have have about a six-week expiration on it. I like that. I think corn is going to be in a range of 20 cents. It is a way, to take 10, 15, 20% of your production and collect a nickel dime, hopefully 10, hopefully 15 cents over the next couple of months, and add that to your final sales price. I think every little bit is going to help in terms of marketing this year. And this is the time of year when we do use those straddles to basically to collect some premium. So I really like those. You can also look into that strategy for wheat and soybeans, but that does carry more risk. I wouldn't do that in wheat until we maybe jumped up another 15 or 20 cents, because we're going to have some very strong support about a nickel or dime lower from here, just because of the export demand that we should see and how competitive wheat is going to be for the next couple of months on the global export market. And for soybeans, it's just such a huge wild card, right? With China. I mean, it takes one tweet to send beans up 50 cents or down 50 cents too. President come out and be like, hey, I'm done with China. We're not talking for the rest of the year. That would not be good, right? And we are seeing some strength in beans, but we're going to get to that in a second. So for corn, we've been, you know, up 5 cents, down 5 cents. The bearish side of the corn market, so that U.S. number was bullish for corn. The bearish side was China. They did a revision of 10 years on all their production, and it turns out they have a lot more corn on hand than they've been projecting. And I think they're playing games with the market a little bit, but they say what they say. USDA has to honor that, and then the market can feel, you know, if they want to discount it or not. So world-ending stocks ending up double to like 100, from 150 million metric tons to about 300 million metric tons. Really shocked everyone. Here's the thing, though. When you take the Chinese stocks out of the world equation, we actually went down in world stocks, which is a bullish number. It does signal that China does not need feed grain from anyone for a very long time, right? So that's a little damper on prices, but I also think there's no way they're going to let that feed grain go. First of all, all that old corn they have, I can't imagine what the quality is like. It can't be great. I doubt they're going to use that for feed, you know, the new found corn. It's probably not especially the real old stuff is not going to be used for feed. I mean, I guess if they have an ethanol program, they can use it for ethanol and energy. Which is something they've talked about. And that, you know, if that's really the real number, they're not going to be importing, you know, corn or feed grain probably from anyone, certainly not the United States. As far as the exporting nations go, if you look at just what do corn export nations have in terms of stocks, that is lower. So that is going to be a little bit more of a bullish part. But again, on the flip side, in South America, things are going pretty well. So the bulls and the bears are going to basically, it's going to be whoever, you know, has control of the news of the day or for the week, how export sales are going, how the dollar is going. And again, 15, 20 cents up, 15, 20 cents down. You can see that range between now and the end of the year. That's why we like the straddles. For wheat, it's going to be a little bit different. We do have that that support level, because if we do fall enough here in probably another 5 or 10 cents, you know, U.S. wheat is going to be extremely competitive. It already is right now on the world market. And Russia, we're hearing that in Russia, in the interior, it has been very difficult to source wheat with 12.5% protein or higher, which is going to be good. It's going to be good for the hard red winter wheat. It's going to be good for even the Chicago wheat of, you know, good protein and high quality. So there is a bit of a floor, I think, being built in wheat. We'll have to see. We're down today as it is getting sold into the close here. But I still like it. We'll see what happens. I think we'll keep an eye on the Chicago wheat here as we go in. The spread. What's interesting about wheat is that the spreads have been acting a lot better than the flat price. So here's something. You can take a look at a chart. Take a look at Dece versus July, or if you want to take a look at March versus July. Those are really, it's really interesting. Those are really starting to spike a little bit because the July for next year is coming down. So wheat has a very interesting story right now. And take a look at the spreads today. They've actually had so much price action since I started this podcast 13 minutes ago. I'm wondering if something just got announced over the wire. But again, I think wheat could have a pretty good story here. Soybeans is up 8 cents today. It's really the one of the grain markets that's in the green. Especially cash prices in Brazil have really come down, and there is the speculation. And as U.S. prices have come up, and there is the speculation that now that we're past the election, that the United States and China are really going to start to get together and hammer out a deal. Now, it may take a while, but what the idea is with soybeans is that over the course of time, the United States and China will work out something, and that's going to probably start now. They both have recognized the fact that they need to start talking to each other. No one's going to have a win-win on this stuff, but they'll probably do what they can. So that's why we're seeing soybeans up 8 cents today, while the rest of the commodity markets is really taking a beating. You know, corn's down, wheat's down, crude oil's down, hogs are down, fats are down, feeders are down. I mean, everything's down, soybeans are up. There's a lot of spread unwinding, too. A lot of the funds have been long corn and wheat against soybeans. now that they see the what's going on with prices in Brazil and the expectations, we're seeing that come up. So here's the thing. If the United States and China do talk at the G20 and things start going swimmingly, I can see soybeans keep on going up here. If I am a trader, it's a tough call. If I'm a farmer who had to soil soybeans, I like the July no spread as re-ownership. I think if you are a farmer and need to and want to start hedging, you wait to see what happens here. If we can get a better rally for November 19, you probably want to see it go higher. If you're a spec trader, I like the idea of trying to figure out ways to get long soybeans as long as you have a limited risk. If the market thinks between now and that summit meeting at the end of the month that the United States and China are going to really try to put a deal together, we're going to continue to see those Brazilian prices come up and the U.S. prices firm, right? And there's definitely a lot more of a gap to make up there, right? At one point, it was a 25% difference. So now that's starting to shrink. Keep an eye on that. Finally, I just want to go into livestock real quick. We've been talking about our concerns on the feeders and the cattle. We thought March feeders were overpriced, and we thought April cattle were, you know, at a very high value compared to where cash is, and also the amount of cattle that's on the cattle feed, you know, cattle on feed report. Now, granted, we had a little bit of a bullish report last time around compared to expectations, which cannot stress that term enough, bullish compared to expectations. There's still overall a bearish report just seeing how much cattle and supply is coming out there. The funds are very long. Commitment of traders will come out later today. I would think the funds are not long 70,000 contracts of cattle anymore. We'll have to see what they are on that report, and I'll also do a little bit of estimate of what they got rid of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I would think it's significant. If it's still up above 50 or 60,000, you know, the long liquidation hasn't run its course yet. It's got to keep on going. So, you know, not only is it fundamentally, cattle typically goes higher this time of year, but from a technical perspective, a commitment of trader perspective, and where futures are relative to cash, you would think these deferred contracts have a little bit farther way to go. So when we have been hedging with producers, with ranchers, it has been in that April cattle and that March, April fats, March feeders. That's what we've been doing. On the hog market, you know, that Chinese story came out again today about the swine flu. I think hogs are very difficult to trade. It's a very volatile market. You've got, on one hand, a huge supply in the United States for this year, and on the other hand, for next year, you're going to see repercussions of the swine flu in China and how that's going to affect the world market, which will also affect the U.S. market. So, I don't know, maybe sell the rallies in the front months. For the back months, the furs, I like the Feb-April hog spread. That's something I've been writing about. If you have a question about how we're playing that and doing the range, feel free to contact me. That's something I like. I know that's more of a spec side, but I do like that. And finally, on the energy markets, I did talk about crude in the beginning, so I'll just skip that since we already touched base on it. But the other one is the natural gas. We have been talking about, you know, technically it's broken out here by far. There's a huge gap. You can just look at a chart and you'd be like, oh, well, obviously it's broken out technically. It's as obvious as the day is long here. But if you look at the spreads, they're also getting very, very bullish. If you want to try to jump in on the natural gas bull market, it's very difficult sometimes to buy the futures contract because it gets so volatile. I would look at the futures. I mean, I've been pointing out Dece versus Jan, you know, Jan versus Feb, Dece versus Feb. You can probably find something with a pretty good margin and some range that actually you'd be able to trade it. So I would stay with the spread markets and that. And the story in natural gas is, so everyone knows, we had a warmer than normal spring and summer. And natural gas demand was high in the south and the Midwest, or the southern part of the Midwest, because it's used for cooling. Natural gas is used for a lot of cooling needs. Had a warmer spring and summer than normal. And for your farmers out there throughout the Midwest and also down south, I know you know that because, you know, even though the crops did very well in that very hot heat, abnormally hot heat, we also had a lot of moisture, a lot of rain early on in the season, right? So, which is why we had all those great yield projections and why good to excellent was so high in early in the season. So, the flip side of that was a lot of natural gas use for cooling in those areas also. Now we're coming into the fall and early winter, and I got to tell you, it's been cold, all right, colder than normal. So we're drawing on natural gas again. So we used up more natural gas than we anticipated in spring and summer, and now we're using more natural gas. I mean, it snowed. I woke up this morning, opened the window, and there's enough snow outside to cover the grass where I couldn't see the grass. Now, it wasn't a ton of snow, but it was enough to cover everything. It's been cold. It's been in the 30s around here. It's been a very cold end of October and early November. The forecasts look cold. It's been cold throughout much of the Midwest and northern plains. So, and if that continues, we're going to see natural gas go even higher. A couple of years ago, we had that Arctic vortex. I don't even remember this. But we ended up running out of propane in the Midwest. It was so cold for so long. And we didn't have a hotter than normal spring and summer that year. It was just so cold for so long that year. If we get a situation like that again, you know, this natural gas story is not done. From the spec side, we'll look for it on the breaks. I do like, if I want to jump in, I'm going to use those spreads, use the bull spreads. And if you... You know, if you're a producer or a farmer out there, or you have business and you have energy needs, you got to either lock in propane, I would think, if you haven't already. And you can always use the natural gas and propane are going to track each other. And you may, just something to think about. Bull markets always let you in. That is the famous trader saying. It's true. You know, every big if, let me qualify that. If we get another winter like we did a couple of years ago, or a few years ago now, when we had that polar Arctic vortex thing, you know, we could, it could be something, it could be very significant for natural gas. We'll just have to wait and see, but something to keep in mind. And you know, in situations like that, what's going to happen is when you get those really cold weather reports, the market spikes. When it gets better for a few weeks, it comes back down. That's the time we're usually able to get in, something reasonable, something that doesn't have a whole lot of risk, and that's what we'll be into. And for now, we're just in the spreads, and we will see how that goes. Alrighty, so that is it for the week. This has been quite the week, a lot of news, a lot of events. If you want to use us for spec trading or hedging, whether it's online, broker-assisted, or a mix of the two, please give me a call. I'm happy to talk to you. If you like this podcast, I really appreciate people going over to iTunes and giving us a review. That's fantastic. If you think someone would like this, please send it to them or recommend it. The more people who rate this podcast, the more people who will see it on iTunes and other, you know, when they're looking for grain and ag market related podcasts, and that also helps us too. So I really appreciate that sincerely, and I hope everyone has a great weekend, and I will talk to you next week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.